Well, I'm glad I got a bulletin this morning so I know where I am. That's not a joke. It is an honor and a blessing to be here today, and I thank the Lord Jesus for this. It's good to be in church with you folks this morning. As a pastor, it's good to get to go to church and hear teaching and preaching and singing and just be able to sit and enjoy it. It is much needed. Take your Bibles this morning, Judges chapter number 18, please. Judges chapter number 18. Thank you for taking care of my dear sister, and pray for her husband. Amen. Anyhow, we love this church. We have never had the opportunity to be here, but we thank God for your pastor. It's been a blessing. This church has helped our church over the years, and time does not permit us to be able to brag on how God works all things together for good. But we do appreciate the opportunity this morning. Judges chapter number 18, if you please. The Bible says, in those days there was no king in Israel. And in those days, the tribe of the Danites sought them an inheritance to dwell in. For unto that day, all their inheritance had not fallen unto them among the tribes of Israel. And the children of Dan sent of their family 5 men from their coasts, men of valor, from Zorah and from Eshtol, to spy out the land and to search it. And they said unto them, go search the land unto when they came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, they lodged there. And when they were by the house of Micah, they knew the voice of the young man, the Levite. He would say something like a sangin. He was a southerner. And they turned in thither and said unto him, who brought thee hither? Isn't it amazing how the Bible can say so much in just one sentence? They turned in thither, and then it says, they turned in thither and said unto him, who brought thee hither? Do you have any problem getting that, folks? It's interesting. And what makest thou in this place? And what hast thou here? And he, the young man of the Levites, said unto them, thus and thus, I'm trying to read this, dealeth Micah with me, and he hath hired me, and I am his priest. And they said unto him, ask counsel, we pray thee of God. You're the kind of fellow we've been looking for. We need somebody like you to tell us, here's what they wanted to know, and that we may know whether our way wherein we go shall be prosperous. Seems like a lot of people like that kind of counsel. And the priest said unto them, go in peace before the Lord in your way wherein you go. And the 5 men departed and came to Laish and saw the people that were therein, how they dwelt careless, after the manner of the Zidonians, quiet and secure, and there was no magistrate in that land. They had canceled culture. They had defunded the police, and they were looking forward to the promised land. Oh my. And they were far from the Zidonians and had no business with any man. Father, we love you. Thank you for the good time we've enjoyed just singing the hymns. Being in your house, looking to you. Thank you for this assembly. Thank you for this pastor. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to stand in this place. Open your word, read your book, and pray now, Father, that you would bless it, give life to it, help your people, stir us, correct us, instruct us in righteousness, that you would be pleased and we would leave saying it's been good for us to be here. We'll thank you and give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Oh, I tried to teach the book of Judges a few years ago. It's been quite a few years ago. It's amazing how the years get by. And of course, it's a history how it repeats itself in the law of human collapse. It seems like people have a great ability just to mess up. And nothing's changed here in 2021. A lot of folks have, like the book of Judges, they have embraced the mindset of those in Judges. about I did it my way. There was no king in the land, it says. And boy, I tell you, there was no authority. There was no magistrate. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Everybody turned into an expert. Amen. They've got all the information on their hip and they know it all. And it wasn't good. It really wasn't. And if you're saved by the good grace of God, and I trust that you are this Lord's day, you know, that's not a good attitude to embrace. It's not a good mindset to consider. The problem is the consequences of these people wasn't good. They had no conviction from God. They had no correction from the leadership of the land of Israel. Joshua was gone. I mean, it just ended up in apostasy. We understand the tribe of Dan and all that's involved that takes place here. It's a real problem with the Bible, a real problem with what God gave them. They were not content with their lot in life. God gave them a lot down probably by the problem down there where all the Palestinian problem is now, having a mindset drain. Where's that at? Gaza Strip. You'll study back in the book of Joshua. Joshua allocated these folks a lot down there, but they were unable to defeat the enemies in that part of the land. And rather than just pursue and fight and endure, they sought greener pastures. They thought, there's got to be an easier way. There's got to be a better place. I mean, we just need to have a little wanderlust and not be happy with what God gave us, but make what we want possible. And they tried to do their own thing. And they sought them an inheritance to dwell in. Many times that happens in God's house and God's people. They think it's better somewhere else. They think it's better in another home. They think it's better in another job. They think it's better in another state. We're so blessed with liberty. We're blessed with opportunity. We're blessed with... we're spoiled. Amen. And it's hard for us to be content because contentment does not come in possession. Contentment comes from God. And what we understand, godliness with contentment is great gain. That's what makes America great. We've heard that in our political slogans lately. So they tried to relocate. And they had wanderlust. They were looking for the grass greener. They rejected God's plan and they received ungodly counsel. They really did. And you can buy it today. It's quite cheap. Matter of fact, a lot of it's free on your cell phone. And we seem to act like it's gospel because it's on the internet. And the elders of Israel, they needed to step to the plate and say, no, Dan, you need to go where God called you, where God gave you, where God blessed you. Hard to know your lot in life at times. It is. Sometimes you don't know you're blessed until you lose it. And that's so sad for sure. And of course, instead of submitting to God's will, the common fault, of course, is they constrain to fulfill the appetite of greed. They think it's going to be easier somewhere else. And of course, that's like so many people today. Our human desires, the abundance of possessions, money. We spend money on things we don't have to buy things we don't need to impress people that don't seem to care. And these folks are searching and they find him down in a little old place of Laish, which is a town inhabited by the Zidonians. It's located about 30 miles east of the Mediterranean, and it's quiet and secure, boy. Now, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a place where you can kind of, you know, sit back on the porch and everybody leave you alone. I think that place is called heaven, amen? And so what happens is they end up becoming, instead of people pursuing a good place, they become predators. Be a terrible thing to turn into that which you're taught to be aware of, a predator. Be a terrible thing just because you're not happy where you are. Maybe you'll never be happy. Oh, the pursuit of happiness is a wonderful institution in the Constitution of the Declaration of Independence. I mean, America's got more of it than anybody else. Amen. It's still the greatest country in the world. Amen. My wife and I are tickled. We got a permit to come back to Ohio for a few days. Amen. It's a blessing. But you think about the difficulties here. They find these folks, folks of Laish in Zidonians, and it says in verse number 7, trying to get a thought to address this morning's Lord's Day Sunday morning crowd, and it is an honor to stand in your pastor's pulpit on Sunday morning. Amen. Hardest bunch to minister to sometimes. Amen. Only a pastor can love a Sunday morning crowd. That's right. He loves them. He wants them to be there. He knows who's not there, and he's glad to help you. Sometimes others get frustrated with that Sunday morning crowd, but that's a pastor's job. But the thing about here in verse 7 says the five men departed and came unto Laish and saw the people that were there and how they dwelt careless. Careless. You ever been careless? Boy, it was a blessing to listen to the pastor as he taught the Sunday school, and I say amen to encouraging you to come and sit under the Word of God, and you get Sunday school and preaching. That's kind of like the old days where you get two for one. Amen. We like that down there in Alabama. I like that in the old country. But you think about these Zidonians, they'd let their guard down. They weren't ready for what was coming. The consequences of the decisions that are being made doesn't end well. Doesn't end well. Bad choices don't end well. And boy, sometimes you can get a blind spot in your life and you don't see it coming. It sideswipes you, blindsides you. And that's exactly what happened to these folks in Laish. You think about people in 2021. You ever find yourself being careless? To be careless, according to the dictionary, is to be negligent. Your mind's not engaged, you're not on guard, you're not sober, you're not vigilant, you've let your guard down, and you're assuming everything's just going to be good. And I love it to be good, I want it to be good. And it's hard sometimes to get folks' attention. To be careless is to be inattentive. And many times when God's speaking, our mind is in a million different places. Hard to get God's people to be still. That's why God instituted the local church, the opportunity to worship. He warned you not to neglect it because you need it. Amen. You need help in such a time as this. And boy, it's a sad thing if you have no care or concern or you're undisturbed, you're being careless. Oh, I remember a few years ago when vocabulary began to change, and I used to think people were, what's wrong with folks? They used to say, I don't give a care. I'm going, well, who talks like that? This new millennial talks like that. It's like your pastor was saying about some things that just, and a few years ago, everything isn't it amazing for 6,000 years? Everything that was right for 6,000 years, now in this new millennial's wrong. Yeah, yeah. Sad for sure. Well, I tell you, it's easy to be careless in 2021, church. Dad, mom, grandma, grandpa, young person. Oh, it's easy to let your guard down and become a casualty. Who hasn't been guilty at times of being careless? If you haven't, I'd like to talk to you afterwards. I need some help. Amen. I really have. I've been careless of driving an automobile. I remember one time when we were in Tuscaloosa, we were driving into town. My wife was driving our Honda, and it had a blind spot, and I didn't see it. I was in the passenger seat preparing to church, and we were coming up to this place called Krispy Kreme Donuts. I call them fat tablets. Amen. And I had a surge. I said, pull in, I want a Krispy Kreme donut. And she shocked, and she pulled in, and we got in an accident. Over a Krispy Kreme donut. What an idiot. Me, I'm talking about. Amen. Oh, have you ever been careless with your time? Turn around and say, where did the years go? Where did the children go? I mean, where did the health go? Many of you could say, where did all the money go? Well, we've been blessed with more than anybody else, and it never seems to be enough. Would you agree with me this morning that if we had a little bit more old school mindset where, you know, a penny saved is a penny earned, amen. And we had a little bit more stewardship, we would maybe not be in the bind we're in. Amen. Their amens are broke this morning. Don't be gone too long. Oh, I tell you, you ever been careless with your time? Say, boy, why wasn't I there? Why didn't I do that? How come I didn't realize that you get a one-time opportunity and I didn't use it? Oh, dear church. Been careless with your health? Boy, you don't get a checking chance on that sometimes, do you, church? You really don't. Oh, I tell you, there's many ways in which you ever been careless with your words. I used to pastor a dear lady, and she says, I've been known for speaking my mind. And I said, I wish you wouldn't. I wish you would. Have you ever been to the place and said, why'd I say that? You ever ate your words and said, good night, what was I thinking? You weren't thinking. You were careless. Oh, dear church, you ever had a bad attitude? Oh, it's so easy. Human nature falls into a trap so easy. And I've heard it mentioned many times in this week, and sometimes we even say, it doesn't seem like people care. Well, I understand how difficult that can be. It's easy to have your brain not engaged and to be careless. But it's another thing to care less. I know that's a game of words, but it's so easy for us. I mean, we're living in 2021, and it's not like it was in yesteryear when there was a zeal, there was excitement, there was souls, and I'm glad for where that still is in pockets, and that's a blessing. But I would say, if you would be honest with me this morning, that we would all have to say, well, I sure wished I had the zeal, the love, the desire, the burden. I cared like I did yesteryear. Oh, that's a sad statement for a church, isn't it? I know my church at times. I love my church. I've been blessed to be there some 24 years. And I pastored in another church in Alabama for a little over 8 years. And so I hope they're going to keep me for a little while. I preached in a church a while back, and I came to the pulpit, and the pastor had his suitcases beside the pulpit. I thought, what a weird thing to see in the pulpit. I've got mine in my garage, in case I have to move, you know. Nothing's as secure as you think it is, amen. Boy, that I got to preaching in that church, and I didn't know what was going on, but it was a barometer, and I thought, what is happening here? Red flag a little bit, and I turned around, and during the course of the week, another guest preacher came in, and he had found a bottle of Budweiser in his refrigerator left there by the previous occupant. That's what he said, and I believe him. And he gave it to the pastor, and he said, Pastor, I don't know what to do with this. And they were making joke of it, making light of it, like we do. And the pastor said, well, I don't want it. And the pastor said, give it to the wife. And he went to give it to the wife, and she said, I'm not touching it. Only to know in the course of the next week of the meeting that God exposed that the pastor had a drinking problem. And had been careless in how he had treated his wife. And God exposed that. And everything was right there. A lot of carelessness going on today. Amen. A lot of people are careless when it comes to the old booze. You don't hear much. I know you hear it here, but boy, I hate booze. I don't care who hears it. I hate booze. I think God hates booze. And I think you need booze, you're being awful careless. Being awful careless. Well, church, there's a few things I think in such a time as this that I think are being manifest as the law of the harvest. the law of human collapse. There's some things that are happening as the result of a mindset where people have let down their guard, or they have embraced a careless attitude. And I think it's affecting our pulpits. I think it's affecting our homes, our pews, our jobs. About four or five of them this morning, and I'll try to let you. I'll not be fair. I'll let my people go. Amen. But I don't know what time. Oh, careless. You know, I think there's a mindset in 2021 where people are careless and they say, it doesn't make a difference what you believe. Right. Say, well, you guys make such a big emphasis on what the Bible says, but it's really not that big a deal. I'm telling you what, that's the mindset of people that have got wanderlust, that are not content, that are always looking for something greener somewhere else, someone nicer someone else, another church, another husband, another job, another them. They say it's not that big a deal what you believe, but contrary to public belief or what mindset we have today, God thinks it's important what we believe, and God's not careless about what He says. It's important that you believe what God said. Oh, it does make a difference, church. We know that the Bible warns us in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 4, I believe it is. I think it's 2 Timothy. Yes. Could someone, is there any, get a bottle of water, brother? Have some water. Thank you, Jake. Appreciate it, buddy. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, the Bible says in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. It's not that big a deal. What's right and what's wrong is relative. It depends how you look at it. You old fogies, you take God literally. Amen. They don't. Some of us don't. We say we believe the Bible, but we don't. My problem's not believing the Bible. My problem's practicing the Bible. He says, the time will come and they'll not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts, just like them Danites, shall they heap to themselves teachers. They got that young Levite and he said, Will, you're a hired gun. He was hired. He was a preacher that was preaching for pleasure. He was telling people what they wanted to hear. Is that what you want? Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Is that what you want? It's not what you want, but many still are careless, appreciating God's man, God's word, God's place, and they're lax about being under the Bible. I love your pastor because he loves the Bible. Amen. No greater compliment than someone say, that man loves God's word, he loves God's work. There's a lot of confusion today about the Bible, isn't there? I mean, it's a sad culture in which we live in. And boy, I tell you, but I have no problem about what God says. And I believe what the Bible says about the blood. I don't apologize. Without the blood, I'd never know my Savior. I believe the Bible teaches us that we need to get right. Repentance is a biblical principle that everybody that draws nigh to God has to humble himself and agree with God. Whatever God says, you'll sign it. You may not understand it all. You may not be able to explain it all. But if God says you're wrong, you'll say you're right. Well, we're living in a lot of places today where they have abandoned the altar. They've abandoned preaching. They've abandoned the preaching of the Word of God. Oh, justification by faith. What a blessing to come together this Lord's Day morning by faith. Anticipating God saying that which we cannot say, helping us who cannot help ourselves. And we trust in God that He'll meet with us, and He does. Amen. I mean, there's a lot of confusion today about heaven and hell and whether this old King James is the Word of God. With conviction, not a preference. I know I'm in a pulpit today that I don't have to apologize for what God said. with conviction. Amen. And God's people said,
amen.
Some of your amens are broke. But when that singing comes, when that singing comes along, you're going to be out there. Yeah. Confused. What do you believe? Well, I have to call the preacher. Well, I have to call the deacon. I heard he's a good man. But don't tell him I said that. It might go to his head. Amen. Just kidding. Oh, what a blessing being a good church that believes what God says, doesn't apologize for this old book. I mean, it's a sad day in which we live. We have a multiple churches as the South is renowned for. And just down the street, there's a big old church called St. Mark's. Sounds good. The Mark part. And anyhow, their church is built like Noah's Ark. It's huge and it's very high liturgical. It's very hoity-toity. Are you hoity-toity? I'm about to ruin it. Pastor will say, what in the world was I thinking? Amen. He's lost his discernment. Boy, I tell you what happened was, one of their doctors, they have a doctor teaching Sunday school. You got any doctors around here? Anyhow, preacher's a doctor, I think. I don't know. But this doctor got to talking about isms and all the problem after 9/11. And he was trying to help the people at St. Mark's understand that when it comes to Muslims and isms of this world, it's contrary to what God says. And the people got upset with him. So he said, what I'll do is I'll go to the pastor. And he went to the pastor and he said, would you clarify? Would you come to the pulpit and give your stamp of approval upon God showing us there's only one way to go to heaven? And that's not through isms. That's not through Muslims or any other world religion. And the pastor said, well, they have their way to get to God and we have our way to get to God. True story. Well, it does make a difference what you believe. Bible says ye shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. The Bible says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man, without exception, can come to the Father but by Him. He's the only way. Amen. Boy, there's so much ecumenicalism. Everybody wants to get on. We're all going to the same place and we all love the same God. And when we get to heaven, that'll be the case. Amen. Boy, we're living in a day and time. A few years ago, we had some Mormons show up at our church on a service. And I knew they were Mormons because, I mean, they're hard to miss, aren't they? And then they sat back there, and I spotted them. And I said, what are them devils doing in here? And you wouldn't say that because you're nice. But you're not like a pastor. Pastor has to be aware of the flock. And when he's preaching and a bunch of folks just go, bah, bah. Some of you haven't done that in a while. And he says, man, we're okay today. But every once in a while, he'll look out there and somebody will go, it's a wolf. You know what the pastor does with wolves among sheep? He drives that wolf off. Good pastor will do that. That's why a pastor every once in a while, I'm leaving the pulpit, I'm okay. I mean, a good pastor every once in a while, I'll say something way out there. He'll leave the reservation. And you'll say, why is he saying that? Trying to see if there's any response from a wolf. That's right. And you'll say, I can't. Best in this new age now, everybody's online. Man, I tell you what, I'm off the reservation so much, I'm amazed they're going to put me out there. Amen. Scared to death. Say what? Just get excited about the Bible. And I went down to these two Mormons and I said, hey, fellas, what do you want? Not everybody's welcome at the Baptist church. Amen. I don't put that on my marquee. Everybody welcome. Lord, help me be nice. And I said, what do you want, fellas? They said, well, we've been visiting all the Southern Baptist churches and we wanted to come to Rice's Valley. I said, into my office. I took them in my office. I said, you're not welcome here to visit. I know what you're after. You're looking for somebody to befriend you, and then you're going to visit them, and you're going to steal them, and you're going to try and get them deceived. And I said, get out of here! How y'all doing?
Amen.
Mark Redger says, if you smile, everybody will like it. I ain't working real well. Oh, I tell you, this is a messed up generation. Do you know what you believe? Amen. Do you know how to be saved? Do you know why we preach? Do you know what the Bible says about Calvinism? It's important that you reject that, regardless of culture and circumstances and lack of results. It's embraced by so many today, and I'm against it. Amen. I didn't get the pastor's approval to preach, and I'm not trying to straighten any pictures. But I'm telling you, we're living in a curless age, church. We really are. A lot of folks think it doesn't matter or make a difference what you believe. I believe God's concerned about what He believes. Thank God for an old-fashioned Bible church that takes the Bible and believes what God says, and that settles it whether you like it or not. Well, careless. Careless. Some folks, another thought here is folks are careless and they say, it doesn't make a difference how you live your life. Just do your own thing. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I know we don't have anybody like that here today, but I got a bunch of them down in Alabama. They are hard-headed Southerners. Amen. And I'm a hard-headed Irishman who loves the South. I love America, I do. Greatest country in the world. Amen. And some of you being careless there.
Amen.
Yeah. Boy, it's sad when you think about how many times in the Bible. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. And it says over in Galatians, the law of the harvest regarding the law of human collapse. You reap what you sow, and God's not mocked. And for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And if you think you can do whatever you want, wherever you want, however you want, well, you can. But there are consequences. Many folks will come to me, I tell you, I don't know what the world's wrong with me. Preacher! And of course, most preachers just say, well, are you reading the Bible? It's not a hard question. It's not a trick question. Because they want you to alibi them and make them feel better. But they need a word from God. Amen! And boy, I tell you, most folks are not reading their Bible. Sad, isn't it? Oh, what a sad day in which we live. Boy, the Bible talks about it. Careless attitude, everybody's doing it. Well, they're not. Just seems like it is because you're watching it on Facebook. Maybe. I'm not into Facebook. I'm in your face. Amen. I don't know what else to tell you. You need an old-time preacher in your face. I think you got one. He's a lot nicer than me. Aren't you glad? Sometimes I heard him get fired up in Sunday school. He wanted to preach so bad. I was saying, go, man, go. You're the man. Boy, we're living in a damn time where folks just think they can get away with anything. It's a real mess. I think about old David, the greatest man in the Bible, about having a heart for God. And one day he got a little careless. He said, I think I'll stay home from the war. I think I'll not engage in the enemy. I think I'll maybe miss church. And he ended up pursuing what he saw. And it was a careless day. You ever been careless? You ever done something stupid? I know you're not allowed to say stupid in the pulpit anymore because you teach your kids, don't call people stupid. And so we're not going to go to that church because they say we're stupid. I'm sorry, you can't fix stupid. Preacher tries. Blood of Christ works. But I'm telling you what, some of God's people, a lot of times God's people, good people, love the Bible, doing right, do some of the dumbest things. So sad. I mean, we're blessed in Alabama. A few years ago, we were electing a governor who taught Sunday school in First Baptist Church in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Man had he was a medical doctor, had a profession, had a testimony. We were so excited. We've got us a saved man in Montgomery as governor. What a blessing! We rejoiced. He's up in years, been married about, he was married at the time he got elected, maybe about 48 years, dear wife. And then he got into the politics and Got him a young secretary. Ended up allowing the lottery to be brought before the Senate to be voted on. It was put down again this year. Yeah. Amen. And ended up getting accused of having an inappropriate relationship with this dear lady. That's a nice way of saying he was an idiot. Imagine a man, 48 years, 50 years married, having a fling with a young gal, being the governor, being a deacon in the First Baptist Church. It broke our heart. Say, what is a man of that age thinking? He's not thinking. Careless. Dear church, it does make a difference how you live. It's a real mess. We've all had people in our churches. The pastor was addressing this morning where we've saw flags go up where their mindset, their attitude, their attire, and we've wanted to go down and say, hey, this is nice. This is me being cool. Time out. I don't know anything about time out. I just, hey, put the brakes on. You're going the wrong way. What are you thinking, dear lady? Hello? How am I doing?
Good.
All right, praise the Lord. I'm trying the best I can for a redneck from Alabama, from Ireland. Amen. You guys are awful humble to listen to me today. Amen. Or hard up, one or the other. Preacher couldn't get anybody else. Oh, I tell you, it's a sad day in which we live, isn't it? Some of the best people you know do some of the dumbest things. That's why they need to be under the authority of the book. Need to be under the authority of a pastor. Holy Ghost, conviction, revival, help. It keeps you from being an idiot. I know some folks get tattoos. You should get a tattoo and say, I am an idiot. I've got a lot of repenting to do after I preach this message. Because I am an idiot. But every preacher or every servant of God or every saint of God that's ever going to serve God and tries to mindset what God says, they're going to be considered an idiot according to this world. Oh, dear church, it does make a difference how you live. Old Saul, when he went to the witch of Endor, Sister Betty wanted to help him. She did. It was a mess. We have no business considering some of the things that are going on. I remember when George Bush was the president. We thought it was bad then. And he was writing his autobiography, got to read it, and he said, Guantanamo Bay, the number one book of all the terrorists in Guantanamo Bay, of all the books, was Harry Potter. Some of you have read Harry Potter. Some of you maybe went to the theater and saw Harry Potter swinging around on his broom. Amen. I know she reminded you of your wife. I don't know. Or maybe that old witch or whatever his name was looked like your husband. Lord, help me, please. I'm going off reservation. Get back to the notes, you idiot. Amen. I know you Sunday morning crowd. Hey, it's not fair. Sunday morning. This works real good on Sunday night. You folks have had your afternoon nap and you're better. Amen. But you come in here on Sunday morning, all religious, bless your heart. I should come in and say, aw, yous are so nice. No, you ain't. He is. Amen. You say, this is your last night in town. I've been there and done that. Amen. Oh, dear church. Oh, people are careless, aren't they? You ever been careless? Well, here's one. I don't have a lot of time to deal with it. Hebrews chapter number 13. Hebrews chapter 13. I think a lot of folks are careless how they treat their pastor. I'm not trying to fix nothing. I don't know anything. I'm not here to try to meddle. I'm just trying to encourage you. Do not take God's man in vain. Do not take God's man for granted. And be careful that you pray for him. Be careless about your good man of God. He says in verse 7, remember them who have the rule over you and who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, understanding the end of their conversation. Oh, people are careless. careless today how they talk about their pastor. I'm not saying that's the case here. It's not. It's just a note I have in my message. You got to preach it all, don't you? I desire to be a warning. I remember preaching in a great church out in Washington, and they had a pastor that's very renowned, very popular, very Bible-believing man. And one morning they came to church, and there was an envelope on the pulpit from the pastor where he was gone. Gone. And they didn't see it coming. They weren't aware of what was going on. And I know there was problems why he left. I get that. But one of the dear old men in the church got up that day and he said, I want to ask God to forgive me for taking my preacher for granted and not praying for him like I should. And I've never forgot that. Oh boy, I tell you, your pastor needs your prayers, needs your love, needs you to circle the wagons on him, his dear family, needs you to help him when he gets to this sacred place, because he comes, he wants to help you in the faith. And we need that help, don't we? And this church has been blessed with a dear man of God. Amen. Oh, I tell you, be careful how you take care of your good pastor. Oh, a couple more, if you mind. If you'll give me a country minute, like they say down there in North Georgia. There's some folks get careless and they say, it doesn't matter or make a difference who or if you marry. Isn't he cute? Isn't she gorgeous? It's a lot more important than that. Amen. Amen. It makes a difference who you fall in love with, where you meet, what page you're on, whether you're according. Is that dear gal a Bible-believing, God-fearing gal? Is that man going to be faithful? We need some help there. Bible talks about forbidden to marry. I heard a story about a Yankee and a rooster and an old maid. He said, what's the difference? And the Yankee, he says, Yankee doodle-doo. And the rooster says, cock-a-doodle-doo. And the old maid says, any old doodle-doo. Amen. Boy, there's a lot of truth to that in their church. Got any old dudes in the building? I'm trying to say this. When you come of age, boy, sometimes that happens when you're about 39. Amen. Some of you men need to realize, need to put away some childish things. That wife's more important than the video game. Amen. How y'all doing? Oh, dear church. I'm practicing. Amen. Got to go to Tennessee and preach a meeting this week. God help them folks in Tennessee. Amen. And what it's going to do is you're going to have compassion and say, God, you got to help that preacher. He's absolutely ain't got a leg sense. Amen. Oh, folks are so careless today. They really are. Oh, about who they marry. You ought to marry somebody. If you're saved, it ought not to be an issue. It ought to be a conviction that you're going to marry somebody saved. Amen. What you thinking? I mean, it's just the craziest thing. You ought to marry somebody that's going to go to church. Amen. They can lie to you and say, oh yeah, I love the Lord. Yeah, I was saved in Sunday school. I hope you were. I want you to be. But do they go to church? Some of you gals say, I'm going to get them in church. They don't know how smart I am. Rarely happens. Mm-mm-mm-mm. You ought not to unequally yoke together with unbelievers. That's why church is such a big deal. That's why we deal with stuff like that. That's why we try to help you. That's why we try to have boundaries. We try to keep you from being careless, doing something stupid. The flesh is so weak. For sure. Well, I tell you, it's a blessing when you find God's. Me and my dear wife, we celebrated 40 years just last month to the glory of God. How in the world she'd put up with a nuthead like me? Amen. We went out to eat with the pastor and Brother Ray the other day, and we were at this nice restaurant, and the pastor, he was the boner. He said, I'm going to impress these other preachers. He turned to his dear wife and he said, Pastor Sugar. It was pretty cool. I was impressed. Amen. Brother Doug said, I can beat my pastor. He turned to Miss Dawn and he said, pass the honey. Amen. I said, man, I can beat them. I kissed the Glarney Stone a long time ago. I said, Sandy, pass the tea bag. Amen. She hadn't talked to me in 3 weeks. Amen. That's a joke, folks. That's a joke.
She said she married a hunk, but he turned into a chunk. Amen.
Hello, dear. Whoa, you folks are tough.
Need some marriage counsel around here, Pastor. Isn't that right, Jake? Amen. Oh, I tell you, God knows it makes a difference. You should not. That's probably after salvation one of the most important decisions you'll ever make.
Who you marry and who'll marry you.
But a lot of carelessness today, is there not? If you'll help me a little bit, I'll get done before 2 o'clock. Oh, here's one that you're all going to love. They're careless. They say, it doesn't make a difference if you go to church or not. Now, I'm saved. Now, I can go and talk to God. Me and the wife, I can get out there. And I can go out there and just enjoy nature.
Nature.
Go kid your grandmother. She'd slap you upside the head and say, get yourself in church. How you doing, brother? You doing all right?
Good lad.
Thoughts one's enjoying it. Amen. Oh, I tell you, boy, people have gotten careless about their faithfulness to a house of prayer, house of worship. I know you're the body of Christ. I know this building is just a building, but it's a special building. Things take place in this place like no other place. God speaks to you, the Word of God, the Spirit of God. I mean, salvation, dedication, vows. This is a special place like no other place. Don't you get careless saying, well, I'll go if I feel like it. I get so upset with folks down there in Alabama. I know it doesn't happen here because you folks are all spiritual. Oh, I mean, I say, will you come to church on Sunday? We'd love to have you. It'd be a blessing. It'd be such a good... And they say, what time does it start at? Same time it started for 85 years. And it seemed like, you having revival? What time does it start? Same time for 50 years. People nowadays, they're not interested. It's not on the radar. Amen. Your pastor's talking about a meeting next year. A lot of folks say, I'm going. And then they'll come to him and say, when is that? You know what they used to teach you? Cursive. You used to go to school and learn how to write. And it was a notepad. It wasn't a... Cursive was a pencil and paper. You write it down. You say, June, we're going to Heartland with the pastor. And you write it down on your calendar. And you say, we're going to go. And you plan on it. Pastor doesn't have to call you up and say, are you going? It's a nutcase generation we're living in, I'm telling you. It really is. They're careless about this place. This is, you know, Solomon talked about it in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 about this being one of the wonders of the world, the temple. Oh, where God meets with His people. There's no place quite like this place. And I'm encouraging you, dear church, if I say nothing else, if you get nothing else from this pastor, and you say, thank God our preacher's back, I get it. But I want you to know this is a special place. And don't get careless about it. One last thought, and it's a sad thought. Some people say it doesn't make a difference where you'll spend eternity. Amen. They're not thinking about it. It's not on the radar. Of course, the Lord Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for soul? We're living in a culture today that don't even acknowledge they've got a soul. They're never under the influence of a spiritual help, conviction, prayer, witnessing, preaching, where they're numb, they're void, and they need. That's why God says, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. That's why you're going over there to that park and having that good singing and good preaching. And it's just it's sowing seed to draw them to God. It's important where people spend eternity. A lot of the Bible's all about Jesus Christ trying to redirect folks from the broad road to the narrow road. And it all depends upon how receptive they are to what He said. Wise man build his house upon the rock, Christ. And when the storm comes, they stand. Foolish are on the road to destruction. And because of bad choices, When the storms come, great was the fall of it. What a sad thought that anybody should die and go to hell in Ohio, in Alabama, churches on every corner, neighbors. Oh, dear, that's a lie being propagated by the devil for sure. And boy, lost sinners are sidetracked, but God's love's a wonderful thing. You know what John chapter 3, verse 16 says? For God so loved the world. You know what that lets this world know? God still cares. And we need to be reminded God cares. And if we don't care that God cares, we'll be careless. Bible says in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Sometimes you say, nobody cares. Oh yeah, they do. There's churches that care about this good church. There's loved ones that have tried to care about your soul. You care about your loved ones. You care about your country. You care about souls. I know you do. All these missionaries, over 60 of them, I understand. That's good caring right there. That's caretakers right there. Caregivers right there. Amen. Oh, dear church. Oh, be a terrible thing if the church doesn't care that the world's lost. Who's going to care? We say, this world doesn't care. It doesn't know that it's supposed to care. It's lost. They have no spiritual. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can they know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Oh, I tell you. You know, God wants, every time we come to church, He says He wants you just to restore your first love so you care about Him. God first. Amen. Oh, that was the church of Ephesus' real problem. And God wants this church to care. And I know you do. And I'm just going over preventive maintenance. I'm just holding up your pastor because I know he said everything I've said a million times. But you know what the difference is when you care? What is it the old adage is? People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. Is that not so? Well, dear church, are you being careless? You know the consequences of the Zidonians? Look with me, please. There's consequences. Look in Judges chapter 18 again, and we'll be done in a few minutes, I promise. These folks came, and these Danites, seeking greener pastures, they were predators, and they came to that a hireling of a priest by Micah, and he gave them counsel, and they ended up over there in chapter 18 and verse number 27 says, they took the things which Micah had made, and the priest which he had, came to Laish unto a people that were quiet and secure, and they smote them with the edge of the sword and burnt the city with fire. If you let your guard down and you're not under the authority, you're not under the magistrate of the Holy Ghost, if you're not under the authority of a local church, the Word of God, you're liable to get devoured by the predator, your adversary. And that's not what we want. We are a zero-tolerance church. We're not happy that any become a casualty. We want none to perish. Like God, He's not willing that any should perish, but that all. Amen, church? Oh, here's a thought. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? When the burdens press, and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long. Oh, yes, He cares, I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Isn't it good to know God cares? Father, I pray Your blessings upon Your people today. Thank You for the pastor allowing me the privilege to stand in this sacred place. Pray Your blessings upon Your word. Help it bring forth fruit. Encourage, correct, instruct Your dear people today. Help them, Lord, to raise the bar and to be aware of the predators, and help them to be thankful for where they're at. And I pray that You'd help them to care more, not care less. If there be one lost, I pray You'd draw them to You. Help them to come to Christ. Help them to respond today and continue to put a hedge about this good church. Bless this dear pastor's wife and family. And Lord, we'll give You the glory. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And you respond to the Word of God, please.